The same kind of question to begin with as we had on the first Sunday of Advent after we heard the story of Mary. Who was this man? Was Joseph. Joseph is mentioned only in a handful of times in the Bible. He doesn't speak a single word in the Bible, even here in Matthew chapter 1, where Joseph is the main character. As Joseph came to know Mary's pregnancy and met the angel in his dream, no voice of Joseph is recorded here. Little is known about Joseph, but there is some information that helps us to picture who he was. First, we are told that he was a carpenter, right? The Greek word that describes the occupation of Joseph in the New Testament is a tecton, not an architecton, which, while architecton was kind of master builder, tecton was a humble craftsman who in those days earned modest income. We also know that Joseph is from Bethlehem. Bethlehem is about, 90 miles south from Nazareth and about 6 miles outside of Jerusalem. The word Bethlehem in Hebrew, Beth meaning house and Lehem meaning of bread. Thus, the Bethlehem means house of bread. And it was likely home to millers and bakers. The thing is that, like Nazareth, Bethlehem was a town of working-class people, not a big, prosperous, advanced city. Of course, Bethlehem is a well-known town in the Bible. Prophet Micah prophesied a greatest king as he introduced the towns this way. The Lord says, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, David's country, you might not be an important town in the nation of Judah, but out of you will come a ruler over Israel. What we can know fairly from this is the people of Bethlehem had pride in their own town. And this brings in the third yet most important piece of information about Joseph. Matthew's gospel introduced him as righteous person. What does this mean? It means that he was known to being faithfully obedient to the Torah, the law of Moses. The law told the people of Israel what is right and what is not, what they should and what they shouldn't, to be a good Jew. Those who kept the law would be called the righteous person. Village people and his friends called Joseph by that nickname, and he must be proud of it and wanted to retain it by all means. For sure, he knew what the law commanded about a woman found in adultery. That woman should be stoned to death. So imagine Joseph, who now hears his fiancée Mary says to him that she is pregnant. I feel I can picture him first, puzzled and stunned and scary and angry, feeling utterly betrayed and humiliated, and now stomped out of the room, and Mary is weeping and left alone in the room. Probably before he stepped out of the room, he might be reminding Mary as this, a law-abiding man, what the law says about an engaged woman who cheat on her bridegroom before they married. And you can feel for Joseph. His whole world is falling apart. He feels that his trust has been violated. His reputation is going to be at risk. Reputation, yes. He was a righteous person. He always tried to live to high moral standards, though he lived on a modest income. People speak well of him and count on him. But Mary's pregnancy would ruin all this. people would assume that Joseph is the father who couldn't wait for another year to be intimate with her. Apart from whether it is socially acceptable or not, what matters most is that that's not what he did. He will be under a false accusation. The same question as we had last week for Mary. What shall this man do now? Where can he go now? He could go public or gather the elders of the temple and tell them that Mary is pregnant and the baby is not his. We understand that he wants to keep his good name intact. But to do this publicly would be to call out Mary as an adulteress. She would be publicly scorned and humiliated. The law of Moses stipulates an even harsher penalty for a woman who had cheated her fiancé. The Hebrew law in the book of Deuteronomy says the citizens of the city must stone her until she dies. Even if this penalty was rarely practiced under Roman Empire governance, it's clear that she would be viewed this way from this time forward. Few men would consider marrying her. Mary would carry disgrace with her from now on. And Joseph knows all about this. And Joseph doesn't want it because he loves Mary. Even though he feels that she has shattered his trust, even though it's very true that he's hurt and heartbroken, he doesn't want to see Mary publicly humiliated. Again, it's hard for him to understand her or to allow himself to marry her, but he decides to show mercy to Mary. He decides to divorce her quietly. We also know very well that it didn't go as wished quietly, right? As it will become evident that Mary is pregnant, people will assume that Joseph is the father, and then he had changed his mind after making her pregnant. Then the shame will be his, not Mary's. He will have to take all the blame. And okay, what about the dowry that he has already paid? He will lose it as he will stay with Mary's family. Now, do you see what he just decided when he decided to break off the engagement quietly? He accepts the stigma and shame for himself, rather than allows Mary to be forever disgraced. With this decision, he protected Mary from the threat of public shame, but he didn't protect himself. Friends, would you do that? We all know that to make such a decision as this must not be easy. Joseph had a reason to believe that he had been wronged. At that point, Joseph hadn't yet had the dream of the angel. He felt the pain of a betrayal, and he also felt compassion for Mary. Then the question for himself that day perhaps was this: which one would I let win in me? The same question for each of us today. Which one do I let win in my life? Anger or compassion? Working for retaliation or working for reconciliation? Humiliate the person who hurts me or show the person mercy? It's not an easy question to answer. It's not a question that someone else can answer on behalf of you. There is no one else than you who know very well all the complexity and tangles of the relationship that makes your life harder. I don't believe that once you make one decision and you are set to go freely without regret or hesitance. Even after Joseph made the decision, I bet he wouldn't be able to sleep well. He must have tossed and turned on his bed all night long. While he had an uneasy sleep, there was a dream in which an angel appeared to him and told him to take Mary as his wife. The angel told him the same thing as Mary told him about her pregnancy. The angel said that all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by God through prophets about the promise of Savior. Now he woke up. That was a dream. For a carpenter who works with palpable and material things, this is something that is hard to take on board, right? Dream and vision, these things come to profit, not to woodworkers. Though he might be confused about whether the dream came from God or not, it's clear what the dream was telling him to do. Thus now, Joseph has a choice to make. It seems that it is the simple question about whether you will be the father of the baby or not, but actually it's more than that. It is about whether you will trust the God of this message or not. It is about whether you would live a life that has nothing to do with Mary or with the baby while always wondering if the message was true and not believing that God does extraordinary things through unlikely people in an unusual way. On the other side of it is a life with Mary and with the child despite all sorts of unknown troubles and surprises, but holding fast to what he was told in the dream, which all come down to the word that the angel left with, Emmanuel, God with us. Friends, which one would you choose? Throughout your life, which choice have you allowed to define your path? A path where you walk by faith, or a path where you walk only by sight? I wish I had more time today to share my reflection on my life in the light of such a big two choice questions by sharing more stories of my life, but I know that I will have more chances to share my stories later as we continue to live as one community. So we all have learned in our own lives that life is not easy. In fact, no matter what path we choose, the things that make a difference on our life journey are our answer to those questions. Who we walk with. How we walk the path that we choose. Joseph took courage to walk by faith. Up to the first Christmas year, he had lived by the law. Nothing wrong with it. However, when his life didn't go as planned or wished, he knew that he had to make a decision which he had never faced before. And the law didn't seem helpful for him to live by his faith in the life-giving God. Like Joseph, you might have come here while in your life you feel that your world is falling apart, or thoughts in you keep going back and forth between two certain possible choices. Perhaps it's time for you to take Christmas courage like Joseph did. It is rooted in the truth of Christmas that God came to us, to be like us, to live and walk with us. It is the courage to choose to believe that God works through us, just as God worked through Joseph and Mary, real people with real challenges and real life questions. The Lord didn't choose a fairy tale princess to bear the Savior, but rather an unwed pageant girl. The Lord didn't choose a political or business success story to name and care for Jesus, but rather a man with his own doubts and questions, and who chose to believe that God was in his midst. Joseph exchanged his doubts and questions for faith and courage. My prayer for you and for myself today is that we may have such a courage as Joseph's. The courage to choose, go beyond the standing on our right, and choose to allow ourselves to move to an unknown place by those we love. It is the courage that allows us to face oppositions without fearing those who would oppose and ridicule what we do, while we do it with radical love and reckless grace. So, let's take such courage. Our God is Emmanuel, God with us. Even now, in this very moment, while we know what we wrestle with as real life challenges and questions, where in your life is courage needed this day? Where in your life is faith needed this day so that you can move forward into the future more freely? It is where, I hope you know this, that is where our God is Emmanuel, God with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.